You've got to tune to the afternoon show. It is listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM in Seattle, heard all over the world online at kexp.org. I'm Kevin Cole, starting off the show today down in the performance space, just thrilled to have Johan Johansson and the American Contemporary Music Ensemble live on the show. Johan, welcome back to KEXP.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it is great having you here. Appreciate all the performances that you've done for us in the past. And you've been really busy lately. We'll talk about everything that's been going on with you in a few. But do you want to start with some music?
Yeah, we're gonna play a few pieces from my new album, Orfe, which came out a few months ago. And so we start with a piece called Song for Europa.
Oh.
Johan Johansson in the American Contemporary Music Ensemble live on KEXP. That was absolutely beautiful, breathtaking.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Playing Benaroya Hall. Just have to say, I just feel so fortunate and lucky to be able to sit here and listen and watch this happen. So tonight at Benaroya, and as I mentioned, you've been really busy the last 3 years, nominated for 3 Golden Globe Awards with one win, 2 Academy Awards, 3 BAFTAs, and 3 Critics' Choice Awards. And about a year ago, or at the end of 2015, you signed a Deutsche Grammophon record label and put out 2 records in the last year. We just heard 3 songs from one of those albums, I guess your solo album, Orfe. You also released the score for Arrival, and wanted to talk about both of those albums because I think they're both really distinctly different and sort of reflect 2 different paths to your music. So first with Orfe, you started writing that back in 2009. Can you tell me about the process and kind of the length of time it took?
Yeah, it was an album a set of ideas, melodic and harmonic ideas that I was playing around with and didn't really have, and I had sort of a vague idea of it becoming the basis of something, you know, probably like a solo album, you know, and
so kind of like sketches, making.
Exactly, and it was mainly like one particular kind of harmonic progression, which was like the one best kind of exemplified by the first track we heard. You know, it's just this sort of ascending sort of harmonic motif. You know, so a lot of the pieces have this sort of sense of, you know, kind of this sort of upward motion, you know, ascending thrust somehow. And
ascending from the underworld.
In some way, yeah, I guess. And I came back to these ideas, like, you know, every few months, and I could never kind of find a frame around it. You know, it took me a while to find the kind of the narrative or kind of conceptual frame around it, which I find always very useful for me to kind of get a grasp of what an album is about, you know. And
at what point did the Orpheus myth emerge?
Well, that was when one of the pieces seemed to kind of ask for a vocal approach. So I wanted to write a piece for a choir. So I was looking for a text, and I don't write texts myself. I tend to go for either poetry, usually like classical poetry in Latin or Greek or like 19th century, you know, poets and romantic poets and in this case, I looked into Ovid's Metamorphoses and his retelling of the Orpheus myth, and there was just a set of kind of, you know, it seemed to fit in with a lot of things a lot of my kind of interests and circumstances at the time, you know, and this idea of transformation. I mean, it's a very dense myth and has a very, you know, a lot of resonances everywhere, and it's hence it's
you could go a lot of ways with it.
Hence it's used in a lot of different contexts by a lot of composers, a lot of filmmakers, and a lot of different artists. And so there's a lot there, but these sort of ideas of you know, crossing a threshold of transformation going from one state to another, you know, and change, you know.
It's a really emotionally powerful record, and do you feel that because you were resonating with that theme that infused it with more emotional quality?
I think so. It's a very personal record, and it has a lot, you know. I it was And that was maybe why it took a long time to finish. I don't like to use the word perfect, yeah. but to get it into a shape that I felt was right, you know.
You could let it go. I'm sure as an artist, it must be hard to get to that point, and maybe you never feel like something is actually finished.
No, it's just finished when it needs to be finished, you know.
So this is maybe projecting a bit, but I know you've been really, really busy, and you do a lot of collaborations, so you probably work under a lot of deadlines. Was it kind of a luxury to be able to let this music emerge over time?
It was, yeah, and I'm really glad it did. I'm really glad I took this time to let it, you know, kind of develop. And because a lot of the best ideas on the album just emerged in the last 2 months of that process, really.
In that process, do some of the original ideas or inspirations get lost?
I think so, yeah. And it was a very deliberate kind of way of, you know, letting these ideas, transform and letting them, go through a process of deconstruction and there are many versions of all these pieces, you know, scattered throughout, you know, my various hard disks and some of them are you know on hard disks that are not you know accessible anymore,
yeah, and lost in
the, you know too in some dark digital corners, you know.
So that is Orfe, a solo release that came out last year. Now your score to Arrival was amazing.
Thank you.
And what was the process like for writing the music for that film? And is that similar to how you kind of work with all the films you've been working on, and there's a lot that you've been doing recently.
I tried to, in many ways, I tried to, you know, use these film score projects as almost as ways to experiment and to try things that I haven't tried before. You know, they're almost like, you know, research and development, you know, and I try to set myself challenges with each one, and you know, try to do something new, try to work with people I haven't worked with before, attempt kind of new ways of it's about setting oneself obstructions in a way, and I have been lucky enough to work with directors who allow me give me the time and resources to work like this, because you need you can't on a normal kind of film score schedule you have maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months, but for something like Arrival I was working on it for close to a year.
So you have the time, but you also are given that creative freedom, which has got to be interesting. And I would guess that maybe for some composers, the more they have success, the more people go to them for that kind of sound or style that they have, which might mean less sort of opportunities to experiment,
well,
and recreate yourself.
I've been sort of trying not to paint myself in a stylistic corner,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and you haven't. You've worked with director Denis Villeneuve for 3 films, so that must be a remarkable relationship and a lot of trust there.
It is, and I'm really very, very fortunate to have been to have met Denis and for him to take me on this sort of adventure that he is on as a filmmaker, and he has a very, very good sense for how to use music and the importance of music in cinema, music and sound. Not least, you know, and how music and sound design coexist and can be a very powerful narrative and cinematic tool, and the same can be said about my current film project, which is with Darren Aronofsky and on his new film Mother, and they share this really amazing sense for how to use sound and music.
Now, Arrival is a science fiction film. Did that give you certain liberties? And my understanding is Mother's more of a horror film. So,
well, Yeah, it's a film that's hard to describe, but and I can't really say too much. I can't really say anything. It has elements of horror, elements of a thriller, you know, but it's a film that's very unique and very hard to compare to anything else.
Really. So when you create the music, do you get a copy of the script in advance and do you write based on the script and, conversations with the director?
Yeah, very much. In the case of Arrival, it was very much because the story is so rich in ideas and rich in, concepts there's so much to work with, you know, and so reading the short story that the book was based on, and that the film script was based on, and the script itself, and seeing the concept art that Patrice Vermette, who's the set designer, worked with, you know, seeing those. The form of writing that the aliens use, this amazing calligraphic kind of circular,
incredibly beautiful,
incredibly strong work, and so that was immediately a big source of inspiration for how I wanted to approach the linguistic aspect of the story and this idea of language and communication and how to approach, you know, a completely alien species, you know, and how to communicate with someone with whom you share no common points of reference. So all of that was a very big source of inspiration.
Yeah. And when you work with Denis, do you have the opportunity then to see the proofs or see the parts of the film and adjust your music accordingly?
Yeah, absolutely. With Arrival, I started working on the music almost as soon as I got the script, and I did a few initial sessions the very first week of filming, and I sent Denis iPhone recordings of those sessions, and I was working with tape loops, mm-hmm. these sort of analog 16-track tape loops, and creating these sort of very dense drones based on piano, basically sort of attack-less piano tones that we sort of layered endlessly. And then I worked with a singer, Robert Icke, Aubrey Lowe, who creates these amazing textures with his voice. I sent him like a little snippet of that initial session, and that was, you know, like I said, in the second week of filming, and he reacted very strongly to especially one part of it, and asked me to send him a 5-minute version of that, and that became one of the main, you know, main themes in the film. But then after that sort of initial kind of research and period, you know, when I'm just gathering a lot of sounds, gathering a lot of ideas, then when they go into editing and post-production, there's a lot of back and forth between me, Denis, and Joe Walker, the editor.
Does this all happen now long distance?
Yeah. We were almost never in the same room. Yeah, no,
just sharing ideas online and
yeah, and through Skype and all that.
Given the nature of the script for Arrival, do you go off on your own and then really look into and study things like, in this case, linguistics and you know, communication issues, and think about that in terms of how it might relate to new species or, you know, extraterrestrial.
Yeah, xenolinguistics, yes. As I think it's called. It's fascinating, and it's It just opened up a lot of. It was immediately clear that the human voice would be a big part of that of the score, and I wanted to work with vocals, but I also wanted to work with kind of vocals in a way that you hadn't really heard in a science fiction film before or in the cinema per se, So I turned to listening to things like Stockhausen's Stimmung, for example, and various kind of vocal extended vocal techniques like formant singing, mm-hmm. Overtone singing and things like that. And I was lucky enough to work with a vocal group, Theater of Voices, who are based in Copenhagen.
Paul Hillier?
Paul Hillier, yeah. Exactly. And who are really masters of these techniques. And it was really amazing to just spend time with them, experimenting and trying out ideas.
Yeah, getting the emotional quality you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of one last question about both albums, Orphée and Arrival. You mentioned that you like to look back or use some classical poetry as inspiration on Orphée and on the solo record, and that you don't write words yourself. And then when you work on Arrival or a movie, it tends to have it has a script and a narrative, right? How do those two things differ?
Well, I think I'm drawn to, kind of narrative and I'm drawn to kind of I very rarely write pure kind of absolute abstract music, mm-hmm. it's always, and I guess it's because, my background my academic background is in literature, it's in literary theory, and I'm very drawn to this kind of having some kind of narrative thread, that sort of leads you through a piece or through an album, and of course that and I guess that's what makes my music, work very well with films, as film score.
You can interpret and translate.
Yeah, yeah.
Johan Johansson live on KEXP playing Ben Arroyo Hall tonight with the American Contemporary Music Ensemble. Do you want to play another song?
Yeah, yeah. We'd love to. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you. I'm drowning in feelings right now. That is The Drowned World. Johan Johansson and the American Contemporary Music Ensemble, live on the afternoon show here at KEXP, playing at Benaroya Hall tonight. And that is from the solo album that came out this year, Orfe, one of two albums, Arrival, the score for that film, also this past year. I know you're working on a lot of other things, most of which you can't talk about. He's not talking. Nothing. exciting projects ahead. You do, though, have you're composing the score for a film that you're directing, Last and First Men. And is this a first-time experience for you?
Well, I've been sort of kind of working with film like Super 8 and 16 millimeter for several years, yeah. And mostly to use as like backdrops for live concerts and things like that. But in a way, going back to what we were talking about, this sort of obsession with kind of having a narrative kind of thread, mm-hmm. through my pieces, it's sort of, this is kind of almost like just like a logical next step in a way to put like moving pictures to it, sort of that I'm of my own design
And a script that you wrote?
Yeah, it's based on a book, a science fiction book from the 1930s, a science fiction novel by Olaf Stapleton, very very interesting, complex and monumental book, kind of like a future history of mankind and the solar system, and we filmed these. In beautiful 16 millimeter black and white, we filmed these abandoned Tito era monuments in the Balkan, the old Yugoslav republics, Serbia, Croatia, and Kosovo, Bosnia. So we traveled through that region for a month filming. I was lucky enough to get Tilda Swinton to narrate the story, and so it's like a combination of this story, almost like a anthropological but also quite lyrical description of the end of our solar system, and accompanied by these visuals of these sort of utopian monuments from the Tito era, and alive music with the BBC Philharmonic, and this will premiere at the Manchester Festival in July.
Oh, that's coming up. That's your next date. I have a date of June 29th ish.
Yeah, it's early July, I believe.
And the film's coming out around then as well.
This is all like a multimedia performance, cool. Basically.
Something you'll tour with?
Yes, definitely.
Great.
Definitely.
Again, playing Benaroya Hall tonight. One last question: Deutsche Grammophon's going to re-release your first album this September, and there's going to be a remix record associated with that. Who's all involved? Who's doing the remixes?
Well, we're sort of still in the process of talking to various people about that. So it's going to be both people that I've worked with, kind of almost like friends and family, mm-hmm. And also younger artists that I admire that are doing interesting things, And then maybe also a group of people that I see kind of as role models in some way, and that I've approached, so it's going to be an interesting group of people.
Wow! Well, can't wait. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out and playing this afternoon. Really appreciate it. It's Johan Johansson live on KEXP. And again, Benaroya Hall tonight. Huge thanks to Alia, Jim, and Justin on video. Photo documentation by Karina, Kevin on sound, Matt O running the board, and then Nancy and Jennifer helping out on hospitality. And huge thanks to all of the KEXP donors that make in-studio performances like this possible. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and privilege.
It's great having you here.
Thank you.
Johan Johansson, live on KEXP. This is KEXP Seattle.